The Bench by Salamando. Phil had given up struggling against his bonds. There was no breaking the women's magical restraints, and even if he could somehow break them, it's not like he could go anywhere to hide. In a world of sex mages, especially in a small town like this, he'd be lucky to get a block before a woman would catch him and put him back where he belonged. Where he belonged right now was sitting on the recently constructed wooden bench that circled the garden and the fountain centerpiece of the town square. He and a few other men were dispersed along the bench, sitting with their arms pinned over the backs of the bench, their feet firmly planted on the ground, their legs spread wide. They were all nude and frozen in place, the only movements they could make being able to blink, breathe, and twitch their rock-hard cocks. These were the modern-day stocks, and he had become the primary means of punishment for male criminals since the town had become part of a new queendom. Men who were punished this way were pinned for days to the benches with magic, their genitals free game for any woman who wished to tease them mercilessly without relief. On the plus side, the magic's healing side effects kept the men from getting hurt. They suffered neither sunburn, nor chill, nor hunger while they were pinned, and despite not moving for hours, their muscles didn't cramp, nor did they suffer sores. However, such pains would have been nothing compared to the agony of teasing they received. The sheer sexual tension drove the men to the brink of insanity, their penises and testicles aching with extreme need, even as the women of the town visited pleasures upon them so frequently and intensely that the pleasure itself became a sort of pain, magnified by the refusal to allow the men to come. This was Phil's first turn on the stocks. He'd been skimming money from the registers at the store he worked at, careful to avoid any security cameras while he did so. Stupidly, he thought he'd get away with it, because his intentions and actions weren't in the least bit sexual. Thus, women weren't going to detect his thoughts on the matter. Or so he'd thought. He'd always heard that a woman could only read the sexual thoughts and memories of a man. Apparently, that was only to start with. A woman who'd been in enough sexual contact with a man could go deeper. So when his ex-girlfriend appeared at his store, took a peek in his mind, he'd been found out instantly. Ever ready for payback, she'd reported him immediately. And so here he was, on the stocks. He'd only been there for a day, and he was already ready to cut his penis and testicles off with a rusty spoon if it meant never having to experience this kind of punishment again. He was so horny, so agonized by the need for relief, he was all but delirious with lust fever. Not a single woman who passed him by gave him even a hint of pity, even as fresh new sensations tenderly assaulted his genitals and libido, lovingly brutalizing him in a way that only a woman could. "So stupid," he heard a woman say. His attention drew towards his right, where a few feet away another man was pinned down. He couldn't quite make out who it was, as he couldn't turn his head to look, but he could see the two women, dressed in business suits and standing with their arms crossed, clucking their tongues at the other man. From the way he was slouched, Phil could just barely see the other man's penis, beet red with tension, quivering between his legs like a vibrator. The women laughed at his suffering. "You'd think these boys would realize at some point how powerless they are, but some men just never quite believe what we can do to them. Isn't that right, Frank?" Frank. Frank. He'd heard something about him in the paper. Frank had tried to force himself on a woman he'd thought didn't have their powers yet. Absolutely desperate for months without relief, now they were saying he'd be fixed with a permanent orgasm block, even after a week on the bench. Phil felt a sympathetic pang of dread for the man. Of course, he shouldn't have forced himself on the woman. But then again, the things women did to them, driving men out of their minds with lust whether they deserved it or not. Phil blinked as he saw the women snap their gaze towards him, sensing his thoughts. One of them smirked and sauntered over to him, while the other stayed focused on Frank. The woman, dressed in light gray business attire, appraised Phil, and smirked as she saw his penis throbbing. "So what did you do to be here, Brazenly, she grabbed his penis and gazed into his eyes. He could feel her mind rooting through his thoughts.
"Robbery, huh? And you thought you'd get away with it because it didn't have anything to do with your cock?"
She pulled her hand back and watched his cock jerk in a futile attempt to come, just from her brief touch.
"Silly boy, your cock is all you are."
A muffled cry suddenly sounded, and Phil glanced back over to Frank. He was flushed and sweating, and his penis looked even harder and darker than before, if that was even possible. It was also literally vibrating now, actually causing a low buzzing sound. The other woman, still standing before him, had a wicked grin on her face. Frank was mewling pitifully, his tormentor visiting maddening sensations upon his genitals, without even bothering to touch him.
"Hey, cock!" Phil glanced back to the woman standing in front of him. "What's the most humiliating thing a woman has ever done to you?"
Phil tried desperately not to think of it, but of course it was fruitless. Tell someone not to think of pink elephants, and what's the first thing that will flash into their minds? And so Phil blushed as he remembered a time at a college party when
when his then-girlfriend, drunk on booze and her newly awakened sex magic, had made him strip naked and get on all fours in front of everybody. She and her sorority sisters had made a game of blind pin the shoe on the ass. The girls, drunk and stumbling, had tried taking a 5-inch heel and burying it in his asshole. His girlfriend had managed it, and she'd worked it in at just the right angle that he had almost orgasmed right there. Of course, he'd been orgasm-blocked, but every woman sensed his edging and roared with laughter, taking pictures as he thrashed and cried at the edge of release, his girlfriend freezing him in place with her magic as she slowly worked the heel in and out, twisting it to probe his prostate. The next day he'd broken up with her, and pictures of him getting butt-fucked with a shoe had been plastered all over his FAP report page. He had been just one of a dozen men played with at the party that way, but that had remained the most embarrassing moment of his life. The woman before him giggled as she read through this memory. "Oh my," she said. "You poor thing. Well, I'll make this feel gentle, then." She winked, and Phil's eyes went wide as he felt that hauntingly familiar sensation of a hard heel penetrating his sphincter, the edges lightly scratching along his walls, before rocking slowly back and forth. Oh God, why were women given this power? To just, with a mere thought, send a man spiraling into an utter hell of inhuman ecstasy without release? The woman laughed and leaned forward, her lips and breath tickling his ear in a way that made him swoon, even despite the torment she was visiting upon him. "Because, sweetie," she said, "it's what you men deserve. You were meant to be tortured by us. It's what you were built for. The goddess wouldn't have given you cocks if she didn't intend for us women to play with and tease them." She then laughed again and stood tall, giving him another wink, before walking back over to her friend and Frank, leaving Phil to stew in the sensations assaulting his ass. And poor Frank all but bellowed as the other woman rejoined in the fun, doing something to Frank that Phil couldn't even imagine. But he had his own torment to worry about now. It was all he could do to squeeze his eyes shut and try not to cry from the frustration and humiliation. The sensations lasted a few more hours, sending him into a heady haze, even as other random licks and strokes and feather swipes and squeezes assaulted his genitals over and over. He was leaking pre-cum like a faucet by this point, staining the wood of the bench. He occasionally came out of his stupor as a few more people came up to play with him in person. At one point, two girls he vaguely recognized as new hires at a store sat on either side of him. They were not quite old enough to have sex magic of their own, but compensated by bringing feathers to idly tease him with while they chatted about teenager nonsense. At some point they left and some other young woman was there, holding his cock between her ample breasts, staring at his face with wide, curious eyes. Energy was flowing from her skin into him, supercharging his cock. She would occasionally lean her head down and lick a drop of pre-cum from his tip, but he was already steadily leaking over her breasts. Perhaps she had only just gained her magic and was just curious to try it out, studying her effects on him. He lost track of time, but it was getting dark by the time she left. As people went home for the night, the teasing relented until he could get his wits about himself. He and the other men sat in the dark, still unmoving. Phil wondered if they would finally be granted a reprieve, be allowed to sleep and rest before the teasing torment picked up in the morning again. No such luck. Less than an hour after the shops around the town square closed and the pedestrian traffic dried up, the street lights went out, dousing the men in nothing but starlight. Then they could hear the footsteps approaching. Phil's heartbeat quickened as he saw the silhouettes of women approaching. One in particular came towards him, and though it was hard to tell with only starlight to illuminate the area, he realized she was naked. Even as she came right up to him, he couldn't see her face in the darkness. He could, however, feel her warmth, her soft but firm skin as she brushed against him. She climbed onto his helpless body, sitting on his lap. He could feel the wet heat from her pussy, less than an inch from his cock. She leaned forward and lightly pressed her breasts against his face, then shifted to the side, lightly dragging her hard nipples over his lips. Instinctively, he tried to open his mouth to fasten his lips around her breasts, entranced by her touch. Even as badly as he needed to come, his male instinct was to try and pleasure her, to draw affection from her body. And then she hugged him, pressing his face between her breasts until he couldn't breathe, before shifting her hips forward and taking his hard cock fully inside. Phil screamed in both panic and painfully intense pleasure. She rocked her hips, and her breath became husky as she fucked him, first sweetly slow, then gradually increasing to a wild pistoning. She gasped and cried and whimpered as she pleasured herself on his helpless body, using him like a living dildo. All the while she kept his face pressed against her, preventing sight and breath, her magic keeping him sustained even as his lungs screamed for air. But even the need to breathe was eclipsed by the intensity of his need to come. His mind went into a surreal headspace, half unconscious but unable to pass out, pleasure and pain pounding through his body. He heard feminine shrieks of pleasure and felt her body shudder in orgasm on his, and her climax briefly spiked the sensations in him even stronger. Even after this climax, she kept going, and he could swear he heard the gasps and cries of other women and men as well. The other men on the bench must also be getting used, but at the moment he was far too gone to logic that out. He thought he was hallucinating from sensation overload, or that the woman riding him was using some kind of psychic trick. He didn't know how long she was on him, but eventually the sensations faded, and he gradually became aware again. He must have been permitted to pass out at some point, because when his eyes fluttered open again, it was morning, and the town square was already bustling with people starting their daily routines. The woman was long gone. He closed his eyes and took a deep breath. His cock was throbbing, but no one was teasing it at the moment, and the ache of tension had faded. He'd been in the stocks for only a day. It already felt like forever. He didn't think he could take 3 more days of this. He became aware of a shadow falling over him, and he opened his eyes. If he could have moved, he would have jumped, but all he could do was blink. His cock twitched as he recognized his most recent ex-girlfriend, Julia. "You seem to be having fun," she said, giving him a look of bored tolerance. She squinted at him a moment, and he could feel her in his mind, probing his thoughts. "Wow, you got lucky last night. First time actually touching a woman since me, huh? Ooh, and she was rough." Mentally, he was trying not to panic, the rush of sexual memories making his heart beat faster, his cock throb. Julia smirked as she watched his memory stream by. She reached down and gave the end of his cock a sharp flick. He blinked, the closest he could come to wincing. "What did I tell you about thinking about me that way? We're not a couple anymore, so you don't get to have erotic thoughts about me." Phil let out a pitiful moan, as if he could even remotely help it, and she knew he couldn't either. She didn't care. Any excuse to punish him. "Stop it," she scolded. She flicked the end of his cock sharply several times, something she loved to do to humiliate and chastise them when they had been together. So, of course, the flicking did nothing to help him stop thinking about their time together. Her fingers drifted down to his swollen testicles. His eyes widened, but he could do nothing to stop her as she flicked them hard with every syllable. "I said stop it." Tears streamed down from his eyes as pain exploded in his balls, and he instinctively fought the mystical bindings to try and curl up. He barely managed to twitch his fingers and toes, the most movement he'd managed since being bound down to the bench. Julia shook her head and tisked at him. "Hopeless," she said. She gave his penis head one more flick, a bit gentler this time, and turned to walk away. Then she paused and turned back. "Oh, almost forgot," she said, and dug into her purse. She pulled out a black thong, the kind she used to wear when they were first dating. "I wore this for 3 days straight," she said, affixing the lingerie to his head, placing the stained crotch right over his nose. Her scent assailed his nostrils, and he couldn't help but remember all the times she'd ridden his face while his cock went untouched all night. "There you go," she said, and laughed. She pulled out her phone and took a few pictures. "A few for the Fap Report profile." She laughed again, and she turned and walked off, leaving him to grow dizzy from her scent. As she walked away, a new wave of feather sensations picked up on his balls and shaft, swirling around the head, making his penis burn with pleasure too intense to handle. He'd only been on the bench a single day and night so far, and he had 2 more to go. At this point, he would rather have taken a few years in prison. He had no idea how he was going to survive the bench, with his sanity intact.